This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Fantasy football has never been more popular. Over 50 million Americans are expected to sign up for these leagues of dreams, and many are dreaming of making lots of cash in the process. And as the NFL season kicks off next week, that means lots of eyeballs and lots of lost hours at the workplace as people get ready for and do their picks and play their fantasy football. So do you play fantasy football? What is the attraction? Are you a rookie or an old pro? Can you call in and share some of your tips? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined this half hour by Neil Greenberg. He's a sports writer at The Washington Post. Neil, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
So have you made your picks?
I've had one draft so far, and I have a couple others coming up. But we actually had a Washington Post draft. So I guess I did two drafts, but the Washington Post sports writers had – we had our draft quite early so we can write about it. But I had a draft this past Sunday, and my next one's coming up on Friday.
And the team names, I think, are the most entertaining part of this for me. What is your team name?
It's Johnny Idiot Face, which was what a wrestler called Johnny Manziel during one of his matches. That's my current team name this year so far.
Okay. So how popular has fantasy football become?
It's become extremely popular, and I think in some cases probably more popular than the actual sport itself. Like you said, over 50 million people are expected to play fantasy football in some form this year, and it makes a ton of money. I mean, just a couple of years ago, participants were spending $1.6 billion on products and services alone, not even including entry fees. So once you factor in those entry fees, it's over a $3 billion a year business. So it's absolutely huge, and it's just growing each and every year.
Okay, our number is 210-614-8980. Brian has called in. Let's get a lot of callers in on this program because I know a lot of people are playing this and they want to share their stories. Brian, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you play,
hey, Brian?
Yes. I've been playing for over 20 years now.
How many leagues are you in, Brian?
Four have drafted. Three more are due to a draft by this coming weekend.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Do you ever get conflicted when one player on one of your teams is playing against another player on another one of your teams? Because that's the problem that I have if I get to be in too many leagues at once.
Yeah, that can be a problem. Sometimes you're kind of torn between wanting a good performance and a not-so-good performance. But every draft, every league is different. You play the cards you're dealt.
Brian, you playing for 20 years. I thought this was a computer type of a thing or online. How did you play 20 years ago?
My brother got me started with it. He was trying to support himself going through college, and he set up his own fantasy league. It was with a cash first prize. Back when it was starting up, and he needed some substitute donors to try to fill up the leagues, and I got into it. I really enjoy it, and have been with it ever since.
Are you still doing it with the paper and pencil, or are you online?
Mostly online now. It's hard to get a group of 10 or 12 owners together to have a draft, so it's mostly online now for me.
And how do you feel the experience compares? Do you think when you do it on pen and paper versus online, is it one better than the other?
Not really. The preparation before the draft is the same for me. That's all paper and pencil
okay.
To prepare for the actual draft. I like about fantasy football is the fact that I've learned a heck of a lot more about the game and about all the individual players than just following one particular team.
All right, Brian, great points. Thank you for calling in and sharing with that. So, Neil, it's my understanding that online fantasy football is one reason for this explosive growth.
Absolutely, because it allows you to not only play with people that you know, but it makes it much easier to get into more leagues because you can find other people online that are also looking to play and get involved that way. Plus, it makes the whole drafting process a lot easier. I, too, have been in fantasy football for almost 2 decades, and back before the internet was so prevalent, it was much harder to figure out points for each week and the stats and to keep track of rosters and everything like that. So it's just made it easier to facilitate a league, but also it's made it easier to actually find people to play with.
And online fantasy football has become a big business. Here's a clip from a spot about fantasy football. It has become, I mean, an industry in itself. Can you talk about that a little bit, Neil?
Yes. So there's a whole different set of services that are marketed to the fantasy football fan. I saw one study show that a fan that goes to the game probably spends about $110, but a fan of fantasy football will spend upwards of $500 when you start to include entry fees and analytics tools to figure out who to draft and to buy magazines and everything like that. So it's just an absolutely huge amount of money for a couple months of fun.
Okay, here's the clip.
At DraftKings, we play for glory and for this, the giant check. The giant check is no myth. It's our trophy, and many hoist it playing our one-week games. Like Dave Gomes, Drew Dinkmeyer.
Right, so people are making like $1 million playing fantasy football online. How does that work?
So that recent commercial was for DraftKings, which along with FanDuel make up the two largest players in the daily fantasy arena. So daily fantasy football is different from your traditional fantasy football leagues in that you're not tied to a single team each and every week. In a fantasy football standard league, you get together with friends either in person or online, draft players, and then those are your players for the entire season. And in the daily leagues that are run by DraftKings and FanDuel, you actually get to pick a whole new lineup each and every week. And like you said, sometimes the stakes are very high. I know DraftKings for the first week of the season is promoting a $10 million prize pool with first place set to win set to win $2 million. So, you know, the stakes are very high and it only takes a little bit of money to get involved and you can win pretty big. It's almost like a lottery ticket in a lot of respects.
All right, we're going to talk more about fantasy football, the phenomenon that has taken over the country. People are going to be you have to watch all the games. You just can't watch one game, so it becomes a big draw for the NFL. Call in with your questions and comments about your fantasy football experience. We're going to get to Luke. He's on hold right now. We'll get to him when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about fantasy football. Over 50 million Americans are going to be playing it this season. Are you one of them? We want to hear your stories. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get Luke on the air. He's called in. Luke, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, man. Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yeah, you're great. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just had a question. I mean, I've never done this fantasy football thing before. I've heard a lot about it, and all the Comcasters and everybody, you know, when they do the actual games, you hear all this, like, all fantasy football points and everything like this. I've never done it. How exactly do I get into something like this? How much would it cost, you know, for a newbie? Or just some other things like that, you know? I've never done it.
All right, Luke, thanks for calling in, and let's get our guest, Neil Greenberg, a sports writer for the Washington Post, to respond. How do you get started?
Well, the easiest thing to do is go online to one of the many different websites that host it. I know Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, the NFL.com all host different forms of leagues, and they'll be able to pair you up with a league that's looking for other entrants. And, of course, we just talked about if you're not looking to get into a season-long commitment, you could certainly check out one of the daily fantasy leagues as well. As far as how much it costs to enter, it really depends. There are some entries that are free, And I've seen some as high as a buy-in of a couple hundred dollars. So it really depends on your comfort level and your skill level and what you're willing to commit. And as far as the point system, that also varies from league to league. There's a couple different point systems that are out there, but basically it all centers around the touchdown, right? The more touchdowns a player scores, the more fantasy points he's likely to score over the course of a season. So typically, if you're looking to get involved in a league, you want to first see what the scoring system awards points for, and then start to look at players that are going to maximize the value. There's probably too many different ways to kind of explain on the radio, but the best thing to do would be go ahead, sign up for one of these leagues, and then they actually have rankings and projections that are specifically tailored to that type of league that'll get you started.
Now, how is this not gambling if you've got people putting in money? You said it's like a lottery ticket, and then they could win big checks. So isn't that gambling?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I guess it depends on who you ask, but it certainly sounds a lot like gambling. I mean, here you are wagering a little bit of money to win a lot more money, and you can also lose it all. So it has all the hallmarks of gambling as far as legally what makes it gambling or not gambling. I'm not particularly sure, but it's something that is being debated right now, and depending on who you ask, I think you'll get a different answer. But it's definitely not for someone that, you know, doesn't have money to lose, right? Because that's essentially, you're putting that money at risk. So anytime, in my opinion, anytime you put money at risk in order to win more and have a chance to lose it all, that's gambling.
How do we know this is squeaky clean? If you've got gambling and professional sports, don't you get the mob involved?
I don't know if you get the mob involved, but there certainly is a house take. So when you go on either FanDuel or DraftKings, they don't pay out all the money they take in. So they take 10% or sometimes 20% of the total amount of money that's wagered. That's how they make money. So the more people that play, the more money that they're going to make. And, you know, daily games are looking to estimate to take in about $2.6 billion in entry fees. So 10 to 20% of that is $200 to $500 million. And that's expected to grow to $14.4 billion over the next couple of years. So, you know, they're already making the money, much like Vegas, right? Where in the poker rooms, they take the money off the top before anything even happens. We're seeing the same thing in the daily leagues. And the standard leagues are making money on advertising and selling all the peripheral stuff like analysis, because they're not making that same money on the entry fees.
How is this spilling over into popular culture? I mean, are we seeing coverage of fantasy football and ESPN and things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's whole shows dedicated. There's actually a show called The League, which is an actual sitcom comedy stage show that's based around friends that play fantasy football, and they have real NFL players that are on the show as cameos. So, I mean, it's really invaded almost every place that we consume entertainment, right? I mean, there's countless content on the internet. I myself have put out a bunch of articles on fantasy football on the Washington Post. There are magazines that are devoted to it. There's both TV shows, real analysis for your football team, and fake just to entertain you about other people that play fantasy football. There's books that have been read. I mean, it's just really everywhere at this point.
Let's go back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get Joe on the line. And Joe, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about kind of a ghetto fantasy football phenomenon that's going on. You know, I've been around people who did not play it before and have started playing it, and it completely changed the way they, you know, they interact with the game itself. You know, it's one of those things where you can't sit and watch a game anymore. You're actually looking at, most likely, a computer, looking at all the stats from all these different games. You can't sit and root for a single team, even your favorite team. Somebody else has that quarterback. You're almost rooting against your own, you know, your hometown team. And I don't know if that's it sounds like an unintended consequence, but it might, you know, change the game and help people participate in it, and it might be for the worse.
Okay, Joe, good points. Thanks for calling in with that. So let me ask you, Neil, are they going to spend more time watching pro football if they're in fantasy football?
Oh, without a doubt, because you're going to want to see how your team plays in real time. And it's become much more of a social event, both in person and also on social media, in terms of how your fantasy football is doing, both good and bad, right? I mean, you'll have people on Twitter especially lament bad throws, but also celebrate touchdowns that may win them their game, even if it comes at the expense of their favorite team. And I think Joe has a great point. It certainly has changed the way most people have watched the game, because there are no more team allegiances. There are now player allegiances, because you're rooting for individual players to do well to help your individual fantasy team, as opposed to perhaps what we were used to even a decade ago of rooting for the whole team and wanting to see an entire team succeed. Now we're more interested in individual success.
So with all this money sloshing around fantasy football, is any of that getting to the teams and the players?
No, not that I know of. There are some leagues that are starting to cut their own deals. The NBA has a stake in FanDuel, and that site has signed exclusive multi-year deals with 13 teams, as well as CBS Sports. Major League Baseball has hitched their wagon to DraftKings, which now has an exclusive deal with ESPN as well. So at some point, that money will filter through to the players just by the bargaining agreements. But, you know, there's no direct financial incentive from the actual fantasy sports to a player unless it's on an individual one-off level.
Let's go back to the phone lines with Steve. And Steve, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, the reason that it's legal is because when you gamble, you're playing a game of chance. But they're considering fantasy leagues a game of skill. And that's how they lobbied, and that's how they got the law passed, that it was legal to basically gamble. But because it's a game of skill now and not a game of chance, that's the difference right there.
Isn't picking points also a game of skill then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's more of a chance as far as that goes. I mean, I know a guy who was one of the lobbyists, and he tried to explain it to me, and that's – basically, in a nutshell, what it is.
Okay, that's the rationale. Steve, thanks for calling in and pointing that out. Apparently, our Twitter feed is blowing up because we called fantasy football a fad. So is that a problem, calling this thing a fad?
I would say so. I mean, it's been pretty prevalent in the marketplace and also in the whole sports lexicon for quite a number of years. And what I think is more... I think it's more of a phenomenon than a fad, because it's not just like what you would expect perhaps the typical football fan to be involved with, right? I mean, there are probably about an estimated 8 million women that are involved in fantasy football. The largest demographic in terms of growth is the teen market. There's, you know, 20% of all teenagers aged 12 to 17 have played some sort of fantasy football, and that's outpacing adults of both genders. So it's going to, you know, when you see the younger generation embrace this at a higher level than the older generation, that to me signifies probably not so much a fad, but what we're looking at is going to be something that will just get bigger and bigger over the next couple of years.
How big could it get? It seems pretty huge now.
It, like I said, I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't grow another 5 to 10 times of what it is right now just in the next couple of years, you know, especially with the popularity that we've seen in the daily fantasy sites, because there's so many different options and there's so many different ways to play daily fantasy in terms of tournaments. You can play against specific people. There's what they call a 50-50 league, where 50% of the participants win money. So as long as you're in the top half in terms of points for that week, you're going to get some type of winnings. So when you have it accessible in that way and so many different options. And football itself is only going to get bigger and bigger. There's talks of, you know, even expanding overseas and having an international, a team based internationally. So that only is going to spur the growth. So I'm not really sure what the cap is, but I know that what we're talking about now is going to be significantly less than what we're going to be talking about even 5 years from now.
And I know there's other sports that have fantasy leagues as well, but how big is football compared to these other sports?
It's huge. I mean, it's probably bigger than all the major pro sports in the U.S. combined. When you're talking about just sheer popularity, you look at some of the preseason TV ratings, and they dwarf some of the playoff ratings in other sports. And it really does depend market to market. If depending on, like right now, especially if a baseball team is in a playoff race, they'll tend to be more heavily watched than one that isn't. But what we know for most parts is that the NFL is king and is usually going to be on the TV Thursday, Sunday, and especially Monday night.
So is it all upside? As long as you don't spend your grocery money on fantasy football, it's all good?
Well, I mean, it's certainly fun. I mean, it's a way to interact with sports at a leisurely pace. When you look at football, I think football is especially conducive to fantasy sports because it's by and large a once a week event. You know, baseball has games every day, and some people find it tedious to micromanage a team every day over the course of a 162 game season. Same with basketball, same with hockey, but football with just 16 weeks really does allow someone to 4 or 5 days in the week to digest what they've seen, make some strategy decisions, and then see how it turns out. And then okay. If it doesn't turn out well, they could do it all over again.
Neil Greenberg is a sports writer for the Washington Post. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling and being part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
Source continues after this NPR news.